All right, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I thank you for joining in today, brothers and sisters, and we're going to get back into our study of Christian judgment, our judgment and judging. Today, I'm going to recap just a little bit about our last study that we did, Christian judgment and discernment, if you remember. I hope that you're doing well and that your Christian walk is pleasing unto the Lord. I'm sure it is, or otherwise you wouldn't be here trying to find out what God's Word says, right? And the Lord honors them that honor Him, and He honors them that honor His Word. And we do honor it because it's truth and it's pure. And the Lord said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we trust Him for that, and we know it. And the longer that we live and the more that we live for Him, we understand and we begin to understand that the Lord is right and that His word is that it liveth. It's alive. God's word is alive. It's supernatural. And anybody that knows the Lord and has been around His Word for any length of time, even newborn again Christians, I knew something was different whenever the Lord saved me immediately. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know where it came from, and I didn't know this, that, and the other, but all I know is that I was under the preaching and teaching of God's Word when that change came about. And anybody that has been born again has can say the same thing, that God's Word was involved in it one way or another. So here we go. We're talking about judgment and judging. Well, we last learned about Christian judgment and discernment and some things concerning it. We talked about a Christian is what he is and what he is not to judge. That it is a false thing, a false truth. It's a lie, just say it that way. It's a lie for people to say that a Christian is not to judge. That's a stupid, idiotic lie, and it's not true whatsoever. Christians are to judge. They're to continually judge, as a matter of fact. But it's only, there are all sorts of, what have we learned? We've learned that there are all sorts and avenues of and types of judgment. What judgment are you talking about? You say, I'm not supposed to judge. What kind of judgment are you talking about? I'm not supposed to judge. Am I supposed to not judge whether a car will run over me if I walk out in front of it? Or if somebody's driving too fast down the road, and if I take a step out, should I just go ahead and step out and not judge that matter? That's foolishness, isn't it? But nevertheless, it's judgment. It's judgment. Now, there is critical judgment, and there are judgments that we should not make. There are judgments that we should not be involved in. There's judgment that we should mind our own business. All sorts of kinds of judgment. But we talked about a Christian is to judge things in his own life and the lives of others. Yes, he are. What good is a Christian if he's not looking out for the brethren? The Bible commands us to do that. And you have to judge things, not judge him like God would judge him, and not under condemnation or anything like that. You judge him to protect him. You make judgments on your children to protect them, don't you? Don't you do this? Do you do this? This way, this way. And you make judgments all day long on your children. So the Bible says that. God's Word says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 through 8, that a Christian is to judge things in his own life and in the lives of others. A Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved. You call him a heathen or call him unsaved if that brother disagrees with you on minor issues. There's minor things. Well, you're supposed to wear these kinds of shoes. What? What kind of crazy thing is that to get in an argument about with a brother? But there are some religions out there that tell you what kind of shoes you need to wear. And if you don't wear them, you're not up to snuff, you know. But a Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points. But if it comes to something like Christ's deity, Christ being very God, Him being God Himself, and somebody denies that, now we got a different thing going on, you see. Doctrine, small matters, minor issues. A Christian is not to get involved in judging a brother concerning them kinds of things. Even Paul said that it's a shame for a man if he has long hair. Well, that settles it. If a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him. But if he's going to go ahead and wear it anyway and have a, and wear a shame, look like a mop on his head and wear a shame and wear it, he's going to be shamed. But Paul said, don't get in an argument about it. I don't command this. He says, not worth arguing over. And not to get no argument about it. But it's still a shame. It's still a shame. That's what Paul said. And he's either right or wrong, but God let him record it in his holy word. And that's what he said. If a woman wants to shave her head, it's a shame to her. It's a shame to her because her hair is given to her for a covering, and it's a glory to her. She wants to cut it off, don't argue with her about it. I mean, it's not worth arguing about, but it's still a shame. It's a shame to her. But it's not doctrinal. It's not doctrinal. Okay? A Christian is not to judge anything hastily. Hold that tongue. And don't, if you find yourself involved in some kind of judgment, and you're in that judgment, put a pause button on it. And think that thing through before you make a judgment about it. Because any of y'all know, just as good as I know, that when I've judged things too fast, a lot of times I've been wrong. And the idea in judgment is to be right, that it be, the Lord said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment? It's right. It's right judgment. It's like God's judgment. It's what God would have judged in that matter. Okay, so a Christian is not to judge anything hastily. What else do we talk about? Well, a Christian is not to judge anything when it's not required of him. If he doesn't have to judge, don't judge. Mind your own business. The Bible says in study to be quiet and to do your own business and work with your own hands as we have commanded you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. We're not to judge things that we don't have to judge. Don't go around looking for things to judge. Now, that's what the world is training these generations to do, is to look at one another and judge one another and critique one another so they can tattletale on one another so the government can know everybody's business. And they get you to do the dirty work. You walk around tattletaling and watching everybody else's business. Meanwhile, society's going nuts from putting up with, from minding everybody else's business. Half of society has gone nuts and in the crazy houses and mental institutions and therapy and everything else, because, not because of their own business, but because of everybody else's business that they have no business knowing about. There's just some things that you don't need to know. And society and the devil and this flesh and everything else is teaching you that you need to mind other people's business. Well, that's not scriptural. The Bible says mind your own business. And not to judge anything if it's not a requirement for you. If you don't have to judge it, don't judge it. Stay out of it. You don't need the headache. Well, what about this? What about it? If they can't handle it, you sure ain't going to make things better. Stay out of it. If it's not your business and it's not your place to judge it, stay out of it. You're going to have plenty to judge on your own as it is. A Christian is not to judge unmercifully. Now, that does not mean that every time you make a judgment, there's supposed to be mercy in it. That means there's supposed to be underlying mercy within you all the time, so that if mercy can come up in the matter, then you can quickly bring it forth. But there are some kinds of judgment that do not deserve mercy. There are some judgments that mercy is not to be brought into the matter. There's things in the Bible all over the place where God said, have no mercy. No mercy. There are some judgments that you've got to make where there can't be mercy, even when you want to there to be mercy. But the fact of the matter is a Christian is not to judge unmercifully if it's worthy of mercy. You see, mercy is not always upfront candidate. It's not something that like the world teaches. Well, you're supposed to always forgive and always have mercy and always this. Well, that's how come we got all these crooks and killers and mass shooters and all these rapists and perverts and all this police running all over the place, because you're supposed to always have mercy. Let them get away with it. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a Christian to always have underlying mercy, that you're not to judge without mercy being available. And if somebody that's there and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says he gets mercy, then you can bring it forth without even questioning it. Mercy. You see? All right, what else we talk about? We talked about that a Christian is not to judge from an unscriptural standpoint. You're never to make a judgment against the Word of God or one of those deals like, well, I think. It ain't about I. It's about what saith the Lord. And if God ain't got anything to say about it, we shouldn't have anything to say about it. You see? There we go. Get back to that judgment thing. If God doesn't judge it, but there are things in the scriptures that the Lord just didn't have anything to do with at all. As a matter of fact, there was times that people come up to him and ask him to judge things, and he said, "That ain't none of my business." Not quite like that, but he said it like the Lord would say it. But I just kind of shortened it up there. But that's what he meant. That ain't my business. And he didn't say anything else or explain why it wasn't his business or anything else. He just said, "That ain't my business." Now, if the Lord does that, we ought to do it. You see? All right, what else? Well, a Christian is to judge, and he is to mark out, and he is to avoid so-called preachers and teachers who do not believe the Word of God. Or they profess to believe it, but practically deny it by their preaching and teaching. When you corner them and you say, "Well, what is the Word of God? Show it to me." They can't show it to you. "Show me the perfect words of the living God that I can live by and stake my soul on." If a preacher can't tell you that, or won't explain that to you, or tell you that he has the written words of God in his very hands that are tangible, that he can touch, that he can read, that he can believe, and he don't have them, then you're not to listen to him explain anything out of that book from you. Because if he ain't telling the truth between him and God and that word, then he ain't going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you what he thinks. So there we go. All right? And that means any of them, me included. If my talking and my preaching and my teaching don't line up with that book, then you call me and you tell me, "Brother, this is not so." You email me, whatever you got to do. And if I continually say, "Well, you're wrong," or "blah, blah, blah," or "I think," or something like that, you go find you somebody else to learn under. The Lord picked my teachers out. I didn't pick them. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that, because that's what Christians do. But the Lord picked my teachers out, and I didn't get to go to college. I went to college, but it was field college. And the Lord taught me outside of the building. But I'm not saying that going to a college and formally going to a building in a college to be taught by people. There are very good teachers in some of them. Most of them have gone the way of the other way, Olympic-sized swimming pools and tennis courts and blabbity, 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 blab, and all that kind of stuff has nothing to do with the kingdom of God and spirituality. You ain't got to be spiritual to go swimming. you know, and stuff like that. But anyway, we won't get into all that. But a Christian is to judge fruit quickly and accurately by God's word. You're to judge fruit. As some fruit, the Bible says, fruit's wicked. And it grows on a wicked tree, a corrupt tree, and it's corrupt fruit. And there's some fruit that is genuine, and it's good fruit. And we're to judge fruit. The Lord says we are. Look it up. The Bible says, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. It says to prove all things. Prove 1 Thessalonians 5:21. The Lord says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. John 15:3. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:9-13, the Apostle Paul is writing us, telling us to judge. He said, if any brother be a covetous, extortioners, idolaters, and he gets on into it, and he don't hold back at all, fornicators, covetousness, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner, he said to judge it. So that's what we do. We judge it. We don't judge it because we're better than anybody or we're this, that, and the other, but because we're Christians, we love the Lord, we're following the Lord being authentic with our walk with the Lord, and we're trying not to hide anything from the Lord. And the Lord said for us to separate ourselves from things that have hurt us and things that will take our walk with Him away. You know, brothers and sisters, one of the things nowadays in 2023, one of the things that should be very important, and I know this is not a popular subject, this judgment and judging, but most people, when it comes to judgment and judging, have no idea what the Bible means about anything or that it says concerning judgment and judging, and they don't know what a Christian is supposed to do. The only thing they know is what the preacher up there is telling them to do, and that is, don't judge somebody else because that judgment will turn right back on you. Well, we've been through that. We've been through that, and we see where the Bible still teaches that we're supposed to judge things. You make judgments every day, and if you say that you don't judge, you're lying. Because you judge every day, most of the time, all day long, you make some kinds of judgments. Okay, so what we'll talk about today is some things not to be overlooked when it comes to this judgment matter. Now, we've talked about Christian judgment. We've talked about the worldly kind of judgment. We've talked about all sorts of things. But we're winding up the study, and we're going to have some things here that we're going to talk about concerning the last judgment. You know, what a lot of people refer to as the general judgment. That's what the lady said, a Samaritan, or I think it was Martha that said, when the Lord said that he'll come, that he's going to rise again, and she said, I know he's coming up in the last judgment. That's what she was talking about. But there is a last judgment, but it's not the last judgment like what some people think. How many judgments does the Bible talk about? Are there more than one judgment when it comes to God judging things? I mean, are there different groups of people that are going to be judged? Or is everybody going to come, everybody that ever lived going to come before the throne at once? What's the Bible say? Now, most people believe in the general judgment. And I say most people, but people that don't know the Scriptures. And some Christians believe there's going to be a general judgment where everybody in the world is going to come before the Lord, and everybody that's ever been is going to come before the Lord, and he's going to weigh the good and bad on his golden scales, and if that thing leans toward the good, go to heaven. If it leans toward the bad, bad, tough luck. Bad apples. See ya. The last judgment. We're going to talk about that, what the Bible says about the last judgment. And then we're going to go in and talk about the individual judgments. Well, how many are there? Well, in your Bible, we find seven different judgments. Seven different judgments. A number of perfection, number of completion, seven. Seven different judgments in the Scriptures. There's some of them that have already been There's some of them that are going on right now. There are some of them that are in the future. And there's some of them that you don't want to be no part of. Yeah. But today we're going to talk about just a short thing. Things not to be overlooked by the Christian. By the Christian. Now, we've talked about what a Christian should judge, what he should not judge, if he should judge, and if he should not judge. Does the Bible teach these things? Yes, they do. Yes, it does. It teaches these things. Look at the Scriptures. Read them. And believe them. Read them and believe them. But things not to be overlooked. First of all, Christians constantly have to judge things. Now, I don't know how many times I've said this through this lesson, and I can't give it to you enough. Christians constantly have to judge things. It's a constant thing. As a matter of fact, I think one thing about eternity, whenever we get our new bodies, fashioned like unto His glorious body, and when we get the mind of Christ, where we're not able to think wicked things anymore, or imagine ungodly imaginations, or think about things in our past that come up and haunt us, and things like that. I mean, we're righteous like God's righteousness, and we're holy like He is, and we're clean and righteous. When we get in that condition right there, we're not going to know, but we're not going to be able to understand what the judgment that we judge now. The judgment that we judge now, we have so many different things that come into us. It's kind of like I see some of these judges that judge matters and stuff like that, and they have the law that they have to judge, they have their person that they have to watch out for, they have the defense, they have the whatever the other side is, the defense and the prosecution and that they have to listen to. They have, man, so many different things, and all they're judging is one little old thing. Used to, in the Scriptures, they would have a judge, and they'd bring that person to them, and there would be And first of all, there had to be two witnesses that said the same thing against that person before it was even considered. They never let one person come up before a judge and accuse somebody of something, and it come up for judgment that a judge would get involved in it if it was only one person. First of all, it had to be two, and they had to say the same thing, and then they went to the judgment about it, you see. And then when he made the judgment, the sentence was passed, and whatever needed to be done was done, and whoever was wrong got punished or got his due reward, and whoever was done wrong got his stuff back or got whatever it was that he was complaining about or going to that he had a right to say something about. Nowadays, you got judges that got so many different thinking avenues that they have to think about. It's impossible for a judge to sit up there and rack their brain about this, because now you got attorneys and you got defense attorneys and prosecuting attorneys that sit up there and they listen to the judge instead of listening to the evidence and all this. They listen to the judge and listen to all this mess that goes on and says the wrong sentence, then everything's null and void. Ain't got nothing. There's every chance that somebody comes up, somebody slices somebody up with a knife and cuts them in 13 pieces. Comes before the judge and it's prosecuted and it's being judged and fought out and everything else. And the judge says one thing wrong, the whole thing goes from this guy cutting somebody up and somebody losing their life in an incredible way, and somebody having that in their heart that they could do something like that. It leaves that and goes to legalities, and that's where the court goes with it. And it ain't got nothing to do with the fella that got, he gets away with it. You see? But we're talking about Christians. Christians constantly have to judge things. This is something that doesn't need to be overlooked. You need to remember that when all these people walking around talking about you're not supposed to judge, don't judge this. Well, don't judge. Well, don't you judge. Well, that's not Bible. The Lord says to judge. We have to judge all the time. Listen to this. Romans chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Well, how are you going to stop the flesh from, how are you going to stop from making provisions for the flesh? In other words, stopping your flesh from lusting after everything in this world and getting tempted by the devil and getting drawn in and drawn away from the Lord. How are you going to do that without judging constantly? Just with the flesh alone. That flesh that you're carrying around is dead. You're carrying around a zombie. It's dead already. You just ain't got out of it yet. But it's going back to the grave. And until the Lord resurrects that thing and changes it like he changed his body, when he come up from the dead, he became a spiritual body, even though it was flesh and bone. And until your body's changed, that flesh is going to bug you all the way to your last breath. And if you don't keep judgment going with that flesh, brother and sister, you're going to fail and you're going to offend the Lord and you're going to offend yourself. Things are going to happen in your life because you let that flesh go. The Lord says when you get up in the morning, put the flesh down on the ground, step on his neck and say, "You don't get to talk today." He said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." The Bible says this also, in that, well, besides Christians constantly having to judge things, we need to remember that, and that not be overlooked when it comes to this matter of judgment. Somebody tells you that you're not supposed to judge, hogwash, poppycock. They don't know what they're talking about. First thing. Another thing that we need that doesn't need to be overlooked is Christians are commanded to judge all things. You say, "Do what?" That's what it says. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." He can't understand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The only ones that can understand the kingdom of God that is on this earth right now is the body of Christ, the church, the people that have been born again and born of the Spirit. They understand the spiritual kingdom of God right now. But the natural man, talking about a man that has been born naturally with the Adamic nature, that has not been born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? "For they are foolishness unto him." He thinks that spiritual things are stupid. They're foolish. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, you get your rights and wrongs and your ups and your downs and your lefts and your rights from spiritual considerations, from spiritual understanding. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The things of the Spirit of God are spiritually concerned. You can't figure the things of God out by worldly thinking and Adamic nature thinking. It won't figure. It's foolishness. But listen to this. "But he that is spiritual..." Now, we've been talking about a man that's not spiritual and a man that is spiritual. A man that's not been born again, a natural man, and a man that has been born again. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Okay, now listen to this. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For whom hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You see, because we have the mind of Christ, we understand spiritual things. And the more we study God's Word like we're doing right now, the more mature we make our spiritual mind, to where we get more understanding about how Christ thinks. And we discern that, and we make the right decisions because we judge properly. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things."
especially yourself, to make sure that you're thinking right, that he may spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that we're commanded to judge all things. And we can do that when we're thinking in spiritual terms. We are born again. We judge things spiritually of what is right and what is wrong according to the Spirit of God. According to what God the Holy Ghost has taught us and what the Word of God says. And we judge righteous judgment, not just according to the appearance, you see. So, things not to be overlooked. Christians constantly have to judge things. We need to remember that. Christians are commanded to judge all things. That goes just along with the first thing that we talked about. And then, someday, Christians are going to judge the world and angels. Did you get that? If you believe your Bible teaches you that one day in the future, you are going to judge the world. And I don't know exactly what that means. I mean, but judging the world is judging the world. You're going to judge the world and you're going to judge angels. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I know what an angel is. The Bible teaches us that there are appearances and that they exist. And you can get in more about that study about angels, which is a good study, in the letter A. But someday Christians are going to judge the world and judge angels. What are you going to do? Tell God we're not supposed to judge? That I'm not going to judge no world and I'm not going to judge no angels because I'm not a judge? Sure you will. I know you will. You'll tell the Lord that, won't you? Sure you will. Now, you need to change your thinking. Because the Bible says we're supposed to judge all things. And we're supposed to judge. We're just supposed to judge spiritually and according to God's Word and according to the Spirit of God, God the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. And what's the righteous judgment? Listen to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 8. The Bible says, dare any of you having a matter against another? You see, we have problems. Things come up. Dare any of you, and he's talking to the church, he's talking to us. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Paul's saying the saints make better judgments than the stinking unjust law does. He even knew that. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? You mean you can't bring this matter before the church and let the church decide this problem? You got to go to court. You got to go before the law, the unjust law. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you're going to judge angels and you're going to judge the world, how much more should you be able to judge things pertaining to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. In other words, bring the people up, let them say what they got to say, and pick the people that are least esteemed in the church, and let them make the ruling on it. And listen to what Paul says. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. You see the priority that Paul is teaching us right here about judgment? Number one, you are to judge. Number two, you're to watch out for your brethren and judge righteous judgment for them and make sure that things are going okay with your brothers and your sisters, and you're to keep matters among yourselves. Why? Because it's spiritual things that we live by. We walk in the Spirit. We live in a spiritual world, not in this natural world where the ungodly are in a whole complete train of thought. They're in darkness, the Bible says. We're the children of light. And Paul is reprimanding these people because they won't take care of one another with judgment. And he says, just plain as he can say it, nay, you do wrong. So don't say you're not supposed to judge, folks. That's hogwash. And for a Christian to say that is foolishness. Things not to be overlooked. Christians constantly have to judge things, and Christians are commanded to judge all things. And someday Christians are going to judge the world and judge angels. So put that out of your mind about not being a judge and not judging things. Because Christians are supposed to do that. All right, well, listen, we're going to cut this one short. And the reason is because this next part I don't want to break up too much concerning the last judgment. This is where we was talking about this a while ago concerning it being a general judgment, or what is the last judgment? I mean, people talk about the last judgment all the time, and I've heard it since I was even a boy. You better watch out. God's going to get you for that, or you're going to stand before Him one day. And you imagine in your mind that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord. Well, is the whole world going to come together, and a whole creation going to come together before the Lord at once? Is that the way it is? Well, no, actually, there are seven judgments, seven different judgments that the Lord and people are involved in. And we're going to go over those and see what our Bibles say. And we're going to talk about the subject of them. We're going to talk about the time it's going to happen. We're going to talk about the place that it's going to happen, the reason that it happens, the basis of it, and what the results are going to be. And go over each one in that them different categories, okay? And we'll talk about that soon. And I appreciate you joining in today. And we shall have a wonderful God that teaches us the truth and gives us peace whenever we accept what He says and not what the world says. We have to change our thinking. And sometimes it takes more energy to get rid of the thinking that we don't need to have than it does to accept the thinking that we should have, right? So it's a work both ways, isn't it? But we can do it because God wants us to do it, and He is our helper. And He does help us, doesn't He? So all we have to do is believe and change our thinking. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. I love you with Christ's love. Bye-bye.